Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
From the near perfect, Slanted and Enchanted comes song number 7. Here. What do you think about the song you got assigned, Andy, from Birmingham?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's good. It's classic Pavement, isn't it? It's the sort of like Malcolm stuff that I like, where he's like, you know, you can hear his voice. The opening line is fantastic.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and two of every animal on Earth, except those moles with the grossest fuck starfish mouths. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, James in London. How are you doing, motherfucker?
I'm doing great, JD. Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here to talk about the greatest goddamn band of all time.
I love the enthusiasm. This is going to be a lot of fun, I sense. So let's get right into it. Let's get right into your Pavement origin story.
Okay. So I'm a early 90s school kid. So I've sort of early 90s. I'm very uncool, listening to chart music, got no idea what good bands are. And then sort of 92, 93, all of a sudden, all this great American music comes out. So friends are listening to Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Lemonheads, one of my favorites. And all of a sudden, the whole world opens up. And, I didn't listen to Capital Radio anymore. You know, it's time to sort of expand. And a good friend of mine from school, my friend Alex, came around and brought me a tape of Crooked Rain. So this would have been sort of early 94. And no word of a lie, I think things just changed at that point.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God, what is this? It's like nothing I've ever heard before. Even different from some of the sort of grungy bands, you know.
It's, yeah.
You know, unique, really. So started listening to Alternative Nation on MTV. You know, 120 minutes, all that sort of stuff. And there's Cut Your Hair sort of making its way onto the telly. So all of a sudden, you've got this awesome video. And so that's what Pavement looked like. You know, it's, it was a really exciting time. 94, I mean, everything changed for me because I all of a sudden started going to gigs myself. So, you know, very first time I went out to see a band, went with a few friends to see, Oasis at the Windsor Old Trout, so like tiny little venue.
Really?
Before they were famous, and you could tell at the time they were going to be massive. But within sort of a few months of first hearing Crooked Rain, I went to the Reading Festival, August 94, and there they were.
Damn.
Yeah, so yeah, it was so honestly quickly. One of the best weekends of my life. You see in all these amazing bands in the same place. You've got Cypress Hill, the Lemonheads, Frank Black from the Pixies, and Primal Scream, the Chili Peppers. And there on the Sunday, about halfway up the bill, there's Pavement.
Fuck.
It was, so yeah, cool. It was awesome. And within sort of 6 months of first hearing about the band, they were my number one, and they have been ever since.
Really? Ever since?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a strange time in the UK because all of a sudden you've got all these British bands, so Britpop happening. So you've got Oasis and Blur, pulp, suede, all these bands that sort of came from nowhere and just took over the music landscape at the time. And obviously I was in the right place at the right time for that. So I went off to down to Brighton to university, and started just going to gigs and clubs, and all of this great British music was happening. And it was an awesome time to be young. And but all of the time there was always this one American band in the background that just meant more to me than all of them.
That's lovely.
Yeah, so I would say I was lucky enough to see them in 94 at a festival. But then not long after that, I think it must have been the Wowie Zowie tour, I think.
Okay.
They played again and managed to get tickets for that.
Where's the venue?
So that would have been, I went in 97 to the London Astoria. So that was, it was a gig called the Brat Bus Tour. So there was Pavement were headlining it, but then you had Broadcast, Mogwai, and Gorky, Psychotic Monkey were playing as well. So that was fantastic. And I can remember sort of being there and just being amongst proper Pavement fans, because, you know, festivals are great now, but, you know, people are there to see everybody, aren't they?
That's right.
Fans of all different bands, but here you are in one place. And everyone was just, you know, there to see Pavement. So, yeah, it was brilliant.
Ah, sounds like it.
Sorry, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, everything after Crooked Rain, you got to experience in real time.
Yeah, I mean, after I got that first tape of Crooked Rain, I actually went out and the next thing I got was a CD of Westing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was listening to this one battered tape of Crooked Rain, and then everything else I was listening to was obviously the early EPs.
Yeah.
So around that time, as I say, I went off to university and they were the only two bits of Pavement music that I had. So I'm sort of playing this stuff to my new flatmates and to my, you know, new friends and stuff. And I imagine a lot of people were thinking, what the hell is this? You know, you're playing Debris Slide and You're Killing Me and things like that.
Yeah.
And I imagine, you know, it's not very mainstream, is it?
No.
But yeah, I mean, I loved that. I mean, I played Westing to death and, but yeah, so when I went and saw them, I think it was at the Astoria, you got people in the crowd shouting out for Debris Slide and, you know, so I listened to that for a long time. And then shortly after that, obviously got the whole discography and, took it from there.
Damn. Did you get to see them on any of the reunion tours, 2010 or 2022?
Yeah, well, I did. Well, actually, I went to back in November 99 on the Terror Twilight Tour. I was actually at the Brixton Academy for their last ever gig.
You were not. Shut up. Wow.
Which was fantastic. It was a strange atmosphere because obviously they knew that it was going to be the last gig, or certainly Stephen knew. That was the end of it. But they played a wonderful set. It was probably the best that I've seen them. And then that was it. I remember sort of at the end thinking, this is the end of the 90s. You know, this is 99. New millennium's coming. Things are changing. And, you know, this fantastic band that I've loved for the best part of, you know, over half a decade of coming to an end. And then it was just sort of announced a few weeks or months later. But it did have the feeling of being like a bit of finality at the time. You know, it seemed like it was a bit of closure, I think. But, yeah, it was a fantastic gig.
Wow.
So, yeah, so you say about the reunion gigs. I did go to the 2010 show at the Brixton Academy again, one of the reunion shows. And I don't want to sort of come across as down about it, but I didn't get the right vibes from it. You know, you've waited a decade to sort of see your favorite band coming back. And I don't know, it just seemed like maybe their hearts weren't in it in this sort of same way that they were before. And then obviously,
yeah, I felt similar.
Did you? Because you went to gigs at that time as well. That was your first one, wasn't it?
I saw them for the first time. So I loved it. And it wasn't until I saw them on the 2022 reunion tour that I realized what could have been in Central Park, if that makes sense.
Well, it was strange because obviously, you know, me and lots of other people had waited so long to see this band again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, they'd all been off doing their other things, and Stephen was doing all this great music and on his solo stuff.
Yep.
And with the Jicks and stuff. And I don't know. It was almost like it wasn't quite right. And then a lot of things were changing in my own life at the time. I got married. First child had arrived. And, you know, it was almost like my time with Pavement had sort of come to a bit of a close. It was a strange time. But then since then, everything sort of seems to have changed again. I'd say a number of things have sort of happened that rekindled my love for the band. And I think it's strange. It's almost like the social side of it had been lost. And then things like your own podcast, you know, the Pavement Conundrum, things like also, I remember there was a few, there were a few sort of Twitter polls of, one in particular where this guy would put out a Twitter poll of every single song of a band, and people would vote and try and get to their favorite. And they did this one with Pavement. And I can just remember like listening to every single song again and just sort of going through it and deciding what my favorite was. And it just seemed that there's a lot of other people out there who were on the same wavelength and who, you know, loved this band as much as I did. So it was, yeah. And also I think Spotify helps. Because what I do generally now is I put on I think it's your playlist actually, the Starlings playlist that's got every single song. Just hit shuffle.
It's not mine, but yeah, okay. It's pretty cool.
But it's basically every Pavement song. Hit shuffle, whatever comes through, and you know, it's all more exciting that way because rather than just listening to the same songs in the same order, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's very cool. I do have a playlist on my phone that's got all the Pavement records, like all the expanded editions. And I often just put it on random and you know, it's like a trail mix, you know, there's a little bit of something in every bite, you know?
Yeah. Really, but most of the time it's listening to stuff, and when it comes on, it's like, oh, wow, brilliant. And, I find that's the best way to listen to it at the moment.
So what is your go-to record at this point? Like, which one will you throw on when you're having a moment of existential crisis with Pavement?
I've got all of the expanded editions, and obviously listening to things on Spotify, they've got the expanded editions there. And I think the funny thing is that a lot of the albums that I listen to, I actually now prefer the B-sides and the editions and the,
oh wow,
you know, the sort of more obscure random stuff. So like Crooked Rain was the first one that I listened to, and listened to that was my favorite for years. But I'd probably say Brighten the Corners now, actually.
Oh yeah.
Which is strange, because if I was to, I mean, obviously I listed my top 20 Pavement songs.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of Brighten the Corners out on there, but as an album, the way that it sort of flows all the way through, it's more than the sum of its parts for me. And also, as I say, the B-sides that sort of follow it, it's probably some of the best work that I think Pavement ever did.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I mean, I love that record. And it was very well represented in the top 50.
Was it?
I believe there's 11 tracks from Brighten the Corners that made the top 50 up to this point. So, yeah. And who knows what the top five will bring.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's right.
But to be fair, I love every Pavement album.
So,
you know, it's like choosing your favorite child, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't go wrong with The Watery Domestic, of course. That's, you know, people have said it before. It's almost perfection.
Ooh, but, I think it is perfection. I don't know about almost. Yeah.
I think so. I think the whole the whole session that they took the other songs from that didn't even it to The Watery Domestic are fantastic.
Yeah. Greenlander, and what's the other one? So Stark,
yeah. I love, but it's so hard when you try and put your top 20 together. Yeah. There's some amazing songs that wouldn't get anywhere near the top 50 that I love.
That are in your top 20.
Yeah, I'd say no. What I'm saying is that there's songs that struggle to make the top 100 that I love.
Ah, gotcha. I hear you. Okay. All right. Well, what do you say we get to track number 6 this week?
Okay, perfect.
All right. We'll listen to that right after this.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get juicy large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
We are brushing up against the top five, but this week we're all about song number 6 on the countdown. In the Mouth of Desert. James, from London, what are your initial thoughts about this slanted standout?
What a song. Honestly, what a song. When you first mentioned coming onto this podcast, I was a little concerned that, you know, I'd get a song that I wasn't too keen on and you'd have to sort of try and talk about it. But, oh, my God, this is an absolute mega song. You know, this is right up there in the canon. So the first time I ever heard this song was a bit of a strange one, because I mentioned earlier that I had Crooked Rain and Westing. Well, shortly after that, I went to Camden Market here in London, and I picked up basically a bootleg copy of an album on vinyl called Stray Slap. And it was basically a live recording of, I think, a 1992 show at Brixton Academy. And it later, I think it found its way onto the slanted, big, expanded edition. So it's the same concert that's on that. So I had it on vinyl. And so the first time I ever heard this song was a live version from 92 that they'd done at this live show. And it was actually the final song of their set. And it was epic. The way that it closed the show and, you know, the cheers and the applause at the end. It's just a magic song.
Magic. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got it all, to be honest. It's a really unusual song to me, because it's just all the different parts are so good, but they come together in lots of really interesting ways. So you've got the guitars starting and then the drum kicks in and this wonderful bass line as well, and then, you know, Stephen comes in with these crazy lyrics that. Don't ask me what they mean. I really have no clue what he's talking about there. Yeah. But all I know is that I love it. You know, it all comes together wonderfully.
Yeah. It's tough to discern. I mean, the title throws you a curveball right off the bat.
Sure. That's the thing. You know, it's not like Cut Your Hair or, you know, a song where it's stereo, where it's. The name is blasting through it.
That's right.
In the Mouth of the Desert, as far as I know, it doesn't feature at all in the lyrics.
No,
doesn't really describe what the song's about, really. No. And I think it's strange, because if I was to just off the top of my head come up with my favorite 10 Pavement songs, it probably wouldn't be in there, because it doesn't it doesn't immediately come to mind. Possibly because of the name of it, possibly because it's not got a catchy chorus, really. It's strange. But at the same time, when I actually did come down to write my top 20, I looked back on it this week and it was in at number 10. You know, it was there. And I was just thinking, why is it there? Because it's not one that I go to. And I think what it is that every time it comes on, it takes me by surprise.
Yes. Those Gary drums right off the top.
Gary's drums, amazing. And
yeah.
And I think also where it sits on the album's really good, because it sits between two absolute monster loud tracks. You know, you've got, it's before Conduit for Sale. Which is obviously like a massive song of, you know, this story. And I don't know, it's just different to the ones that it's around, but it's perfectly on the album. So, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, the sequencing is really important on a record for sure. And I don't have it in front of me, and my memory precludes me from
telling you. No Life Stinged There, wasn't it? So,
oh, okay.
Perfect. So you've got this really loud, thrashy, probably about as thrashy as they get on Slanted. And then In the Mouth of the Desert, it's just this beautiful interlude between these two songs. And also, I don't know if you've heard it. I think it was at the Roundhouse on the reunion tour. I think it was on YouTube. And they started with Heckler Spray and then went straight into In the Mouth of the Desert. And those two just go so well together. So if you can see that on the live shows on YouTube, it's well worth watching.
I'll check it out. What night was that that you went? Or night?
So I went to two of them. I went to the Sunday and the Tuesday. So
okay.
I would have gone to all four, but if I could have got away with it. But
I was at both of those. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So yeah, but that, talking about the first reunion show being a bit disappointed, but the second reunion shows. The recent ones for me were just amazing. The way that their hearts were properly in it, and you know the skill of like the guitar playing and the way that they just seemed to be having so much fun. You know, it was so good to be at.
Yeah, I agree. Didn't want it to end.
No, but talking about YouTube, it's weird. If you go onto YouTube and put in the Mouth of the Desert, there's so many live versions that you can see.
Really.
There's hundreds, and I think it's like I looked it up on the sort of statistics thing. I think it's the fifth most played song that they've ever done, and yeah, there's so many different versions of it out there to listen to, and also lots of covers. You know, people doing covers of it, some quite like interesting ones. There's a really funny one which is it's like an 8-bit. version on the Spectrum that someone's done on the ZX Spectrum, so that's quite funny.
Fuck.
And also there's a fella, I don't know who he is, but he's so talented, and he's basically just doing the isolated guitar part, and the way that those guitars just sort of escalate, and it's just fantastic. But yeah, all the different parts of the song are brilliant for me.
So it's fair to say that you think it's somewhat properly rated, seeing as it was on your top 10 and here it's number 6. So you're not far off.
No, absolutely.
Consensus.
From Slanted, I think there's only Trigger Cut that I put above it, you know.
Okay. And,
but I mean, yeah, it's fluid, isn't it? It could be could be anywhere from second to 50th, you know.
Yeah. I'm trying to see where Trigger Cut landed. I don't have good memory.
No. Well, I love all of the songs on the album. And
oh, yeah. So good.
But yeah, I think certainly, because I used to have it on CD, so the first 6 songs on that album just all run together really well for me, and that this sort of sits right in the middle of that.
There it is. Sorry, Trigger Cut was number 11. So there you go.
There you go. So almost, yeah, the opposite way around so that I had them. Yeah. But yeah, I'd say In the Mouth of the Desert takes me by surprise almost every single time that I listen to it. And it's just one that I don't think I'll ever get bored of.
No, I don't either. It's one of my go-tos on Slanted for sure. And that's why I called it a Slanted standout to me.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the highlights of the band. Yeah.
And I love the call and response that you get. And, you know, you see them live and maybe Bob will do it, or, you know, Spiral. Whoever. Yeah, it's fantastic.
You're fantastic. And it's been great talking. It's been great talking to you today.
Thank you. No, I've really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, it's just such a nice feeling to be able to discuss this wonderful band with somebody else who, you know, feels the same way.
Thank you, brother.
Back in the day, you'd wear a Pavement t-shirt and, you know, 1 in 200 people might stop you, and then you're bonded straight away. But
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, man. Take good care. That's what we've got for you this week. And make sure to wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email.
jd.meetingmalcolmus@gmail.com. Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get juicy large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.